Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Find Your Feet podcast, a weekly podcast show hosted by me, Grace.
And me, Abby.
Here to talk to you all about everything to do with self-love, wellness, positivity, and basically just helping you live your best life.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Today, we're actually bringing you an episode around navigating the holidays because it's approaching that time, isn't it? I feel like December is just wind down time.
Yeah.
Like the whole of December, you just start, to wind down.
Yeah.
And everyone starts to maybe go home for Christmas. Maybe they're around people that they're not usually around. And it can be quite a challenging time. I think it comes with a lot of expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think the more you kind of like prepare yourself to maybe set boundaries and protect your energy, then the better time you're going to have.
Yeah.
You know, just a bit more self-awareness around it.
Yeah. And I feel like so many of our audience are on like a self-development journey that sometimes actually like they might not live at home anymore, might live in a different city, and then they're going home for Christmas and they actually might be quite a different version of themselves like before, do you know what I mean? From maybe like last year or whenever you were last at home. So yeah. There could actually be a lot of people listening to this who are a bit nervous.
Yeah.
About the holiday times.
Yeah, definitely. And they might not even realise that that's what it is. Do you know what I mean? That like anticipation of, oh, you're going home, you've got all these plans. It's like, God, why is this overwhelming me? And it might actually just be that it's like not what you're used to anymore. And yeah, like you said, like you might outgrow people. As I said, it can be quite challenging.
There's also like so many expectations in December as well. Like I feel like it's quite a high pressure month as well for people. Like you got to spend more money, you're getting asked to come out more. Like it can just be, there's that as well.
Yeah, it's like your whole routine is kind of thrown off a bit.
Yeah, not to sound like we're shitting on Christmas, and we love Christmas. We love being festive. I feel like we need to get a tree in the office.
Yeah,
or like, we have got this big, massive, leafy plant in the corner. We could put lights on it, or would that kill it?
Maybe. No, I don't think so. We could put some baubles tinsel. On Peter. What do we call him? Peter, the positivity plant. And we said that when we needed positivity, we're going to worship him. We haven't really done that, have we? We forgot. No, we should definitely decorate him. No, I do love Christmas, but that's definitely what I've experienced. Even though over the last week I've been like starting to overwhelm myself thinking, oh my God, I've got all these plans. But then literally last night I had to overwhelm myself. I was like, Abby, stop being such a Scrooge. I was like going out with my mum and stuff, and I was like getting stressed out because I was like, oh, I need to go out early and I haven't got time to finish work. And I was like, God, this is going to happen so many times in December. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm just so grateful I have family and friends that want to spend time with me. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you just need to like bring yourself down a notch. But I think it is natural if you're not used to going out on weeknights and stuff, and all of a sudden you've got all these plans, it's easy to get overwhelmed, thinking, God, I've got to spread myself thinner than usual. Like, how am I going to show up for all these things? But flipping to gratitude always helps. Because I did have a really nice night. I was like literally being a little Scrooge before it.
Well, that's not fun.
Yeah, I know. I was like, Abby, stop being a Scrooge. But it is just that. It's like the genuine overwhelm. General overwhelm of December and more expectations and stuff.
Yeah. I think expectations to always be having a good time as well. You know, like there's all these like things, like there's obviously New Year's Eve, and then in the UK there's that weird thing called Mad Friday. I don't think that's a thing in other countries.
No, I don't think it is.
And
we're going out on Mad Friday.
I know, we're weirdos.
We're going to be mad on Mad Friday.
Yeah. No, but is it an English thing?
I think it is just an
English
thing.
In Scotland and stuff.
Oh, they probably do have it in Scotland, I think.
Yeah.
For all the alkies.
Oh, is it? Well, that's why we're going.
But I imagine they've got it in Scotland. I don't know. They have different like holidays and stuff in Ireland, don't they?
Yeah. Well, basically, Mad Friday is the Friday before Christmas.
Yeah.
And everyone goes out and goes mad.
Yeah.
Mad Friday.
It's wild. I haven't been out on Mad Friday in quite a few years, but I remember I used to go.
Yeah.
It would be the night. It'd be like, you're going out Mad Friday and you'd go and you just have a great time.
Well, that's going to be us.
It is. So we're going to go and celebrate a fabulous year.
Yeah, it's actually become our Christmas party.
Yeah.
With our millions of members of staff of just me and you.
We could have like an office party and then go out and be mad. But no, there is the expectation to always be busy or have a plan or... Because if not, then you'll just get FOMO.
Yeah. I think what's also highlighted, this is a bit random, but just got me thinking about that like expectation thing. What's also actually quite highlighted this time of year for some people is like who is single.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Depending on whether you're happy being single or not. Like maybe you're not happy being single. Maybe you've been through a recent breakup or or something, or maybe you've lost someone. Like, basically Christmas comes around, and because it's that time of year where people get in together, if it is someone that's passed, you can really remember that, and that can be really hard. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
100%.
But also, like, relationship status wise, like a lot of people can feel a bit if they're like single, because there's a lot of it's quite coupley. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so coupley. Definitely, yeah. I think like it's a time when grief can come to surface, because like you said, yeah, you're around people and you realise who's not there. And I think, yeah, with like couples, I think probably people feel it more, because then you also like think about the times when you were with someone around Christmas. But that actually is why, honestly, like I was saying on last week's episode, guys, how I've like deleted all my apps.
Oh, yeah.
That's because literally I had this moment where I was like, obviously not last Christmas because I was with someone, but I've had that around Christmas. I've really felt that where like, I've been maybe trying to get over someone or something, and then a Christmas comes and you feel like it's really heaviness. Like it just feels like it's maximized, but it doesn't feel like the truth. It's just because everything is heightened.
Yeah.
So that's why I deleted all my stuff, because I was like, this year, I'm going to just really focus on my own energy and feel really good from inside. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than like,
yeah,
sprangling my energy, and then it comes to Christmas and I'm like, oh God, I feel weird.
Yeah, and just enjoying your Christmas being single as what it is, because there's a lot of plus sides to it as well. Like
loads.
Friends, all this stuff. Like on New Year's Eve, I'm going wild. I'm going to the best party in the UK, I reckon.
Yeah, probably.
But like, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go and have the bougiest New Year's Eve ever with one of my friends who's also single, and I'm like, loads of her friends, she's a bit older than me, loads of her friends are actually like engaged and stuff, so they're like, because New Year's Eve, I feel like it's either one way. Yeah. You're either in a couple and you're doing really coupley shit, or you're single and you're either at home crying, or you're out with your girls having the best time ever. And I was just like, so I just said to her, like, let's just go, because it's quite this party's rather on the pricier side of things, a bit excessive, but I was like, it's memories for a lifetime. Let's just go. Who knows, next year, mate, you might be engaged, not you, her.
Yeah.
And then we won't get to have our single girls New Year's Eve being wild together, getting dressed up, getting blow dries, going out. So it's like, let's just enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean?
So,
yeah. I couldn't be happier with where I am this time this year. Mm. But definitely, I didn't even think about it like that 100%. Especially New Year. I think New Year just brings everything to the surface.
Yeah, New Year's is the biggest, like, expectation hangover thing, isn't it? Like, you've got to have the best night ever, otherwise you're worthless piece of shit. And if you're not happy with your relationship status, like, that's very highlighted, and there's all sorts going on.
So highlighted. I've had two huge breakups around New Year's.
Have you?
Because you get 2 years and you're like, bugging out. Yeah, no, so now I feel like it's a bit tarnished. Mm. But
you said you deleted the apps, but there was one app that's come back in. Oh. We need to update everybody on and just tell them. We need to give them a review. Because people always want to know about stuff like this. Like, I love hearing about people.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, yeah. But I don't want to shit on it too much.
No.
In case my husband is on that.
Yeah, true, you don't know. But as in initial reactions.
But initial reactions.
Because I feel like this app is very idolized and put on a pedestal.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, guys, I applied to Raya, which if you don't know, what is it? It's like for exclusive
dating. Yeah, it's like a date. Everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows what Raya is.
Everyone that I spoke to with my friends,
do they know
like,
what it is?
No.
Okay, right.
It's
Raya.
It's like a London-y thing.
Really? Well, yeah. It's a dating app where apparently you've got to be a celeb to get on it. And Abby's a massive celeb, so she was straight on there. Like, they basically have to approve you to get on. Like, they go and check out your Instagram and stuff, like, how superficial. But it's basically so that then, obviously, like, the people on there that you're matching with are on, like, this certain vibe or whatever. Mm. But I think it started off as a celebrity dating app. But
yeah,
actually,
now
I think there might be some celebs on it. I have no idea.
I haven't seen any celebs on there.
Really? But I've heard that that people have seen like Shawn Mendes on
there. Oh, do you
like
know
Lewis
mine,
Capaldi
actually?
As well, I swear. But people have said that they've seen him on Hinge and stuff.
I can't remember who it was. Knows. Someone came up and he was fit and he was a celeb. And it was his actual profile. And I liked him. He's done that way back. How fucking rude. I can't remember who it was.
Have you still got the app?
Yeah, but you can't see who you've liked or anything.
But you don't know, he might like you back.
Yeah, I literally can't remember who it was. I was like, oh my God, it was really random.
So basically you apply, it took you 3 months to get approved.
Yeah, 2-3 months, something like that.
I didn't even know you'd applied. You should tell me, I would have done it.
I did tell you.
No.
I said to you, I was with Jenny and we did it.
Oh.
It was months ago when I was at Jenny's house.
Oh, right. Has she been approved?
I don't think she's got it, but I pressed on Ash to approve me, but I don't think she ever did.
Oh.
So I didn't, I wasn't...
Oh yeah, because you can get referred to it.
Yeah, I wasn't referred.
If you get referred, anyone, you get on straight away, is that right?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Well, I pressed on Ash, and I don't know if she did anything with that. I don't know. I don't think he even sent her a thing. But yeah, it took ages to do it. And then, yeah, it like approved me at 33 minutes past three on Saturday night, and I was like, oh my God.
It's a sign.
Maybe it's a sign. 333 is actually my lucky number, so I was like... Maybe it's a sign. And then obviously I've been like saying how I was having a break from dating now. So I was like, do I even want it? Like, so I didn't download it all day. And then I was like, fuck it. I just need to see who's on there.
Yeah, you've got to do it for everyone. You've got to let everyone know. So you had to get it.
Yeah. And I was highly disappointed, I've got to say.
Mm.
It's just weird. It's a really weird app. I don't really get how it works.
Raya's, yeah, because it's showing you people.
Sponsor us at this
rate. Yeah, sorry, Raya.
Yeah, it was just showing me girls. You can't put it on, like, just guys.
That's so random.
Yeah, so I was just getting, like, loads of girls.
But also what's random is it was showing you people in America.
Oh, yeah, and it just shows you people in, like, Manhattan, Miami.
My
I think the aim is that you can...
across the Atlantic Ocean. How yeah. are you going to go on a date?
If you wanted to literally find someone around... If you moved to America and you wanted a boyfriend in America, you could probably do it. Because you can type in and you put, like, graphic designers in L.A., that's what you
might
do.
Might be good for hiring if anyone's looking to try.
Yeah.
And
well, you can put
staff,
that, yeah.
You know?
Well, not staff, but you can put like, I'm just looking for friends or whatever as like your option.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe some people might put in like podcasters in the River Valley.
Yeah, they're looking for us.
But yeah, I didn't, honestly, and it suggests you about four people. Three of them were girls. And then if you want more people in your area, it's £50 a month.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you already paid £17 just to get on the app in the first place.
Yeah.
You did it for the...
Highly disappointed.
You did it for the crew so that we could all know what it was like.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to say maybe it would get better. I really don't think it would.
£50 a month is so much money. But maybe if you're really committed to dating and to dating...
Yeah, if you really wanted to meet the right person.
Someone exclusive on Rare, some celeb, then maybe you would not see that as a big expense.
No. And, like, you know, like, some people are like, oh, my God, Hinge is, like, a bit, like, pretentious or whatever. You know, compared to Tinder.
Oh, right.
Like, because I feel like Open Offer is different. The dating app world is different than...
Than if you're in a city,
than
yeah.
in London, yeah, yeah, or Manchester. Yeah, exactly. So, like, Tinder around here, I think, is still quite normal. And then you've got Hinge, and I think some guys think, oh, if you're on Hinge, like... You really committed to something if you're on Hinge.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Because
so
you have to like write stuff about yourself. Yeah. And I've heard people say like, oh, Hinge is for like, oh, like cool kids or whatever. Because you know, like you can find like your edgy boys on there.
Yeah.
But Ray is like another level. It's like you press on the picture and then it goes for a slideshow. And like these guys all look like they've got like the same kind of picture. They're all like photography pictures with some really funny filters on like. And I'm just watching these slideshows. Like, I'm like, it's a bit bizarre.
Wow.
I've only got about three pictures on my slideshow. Like, you can put about 20 pictures on it, it just flicks through. And I'm like, oh my God.
And you put a song on it.
What's you can't. You have do have to have a song to your profile.
What's your song?
It's called A Little While.
What is it?
Is I just it like want to talk to you for a little
song?
While. No, it's like, I don't really know how to explain it. It's just a song I really like. It's from like, when me and Frank used to be close, we'd always exchange songs. It's just a really good song.
Is it like a vibey song?
It's just like... like I want to say like Arctic Monkeys, but it's not like Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, right.
But what do you even call that?
I don't know.
Like
rock?
Boy band. But not boy band. Like he's really cool. It's just one guy.
Imagine
like he's a really good singer. I go and see him.
Oh right. Imagine if you put some like cringo song on it, like "How sweet it is to be loved by you."
I know. You can tell everyone's really thought about the songs. Like, oh, I want to look cool. A lot of people have got Drake on.
Oh yeah. But Drake, that's quite basic bitch, I think, to put that on there.
Yeah,
because
it's not very creative.
No,
well, that's what I mean. I put A Little While on because no one knows that song. It's actually a really good song. So I reckon people might listen to it and be like, oh, cool. But no one's freaking looking at profile anyway.
Mm.
But that's the thing. I don't think anyone's really using it around here anyway. So, like, it's just dead. Still the same people on it.
Yeah, when I've heard people talking about using it who live in, like, Manchester and stuff, they said they were talking to people who, like, live in London on it.
Yeah.
So even that, like, even if you are, say you're in Manchester, maybe it'll show you more people. It's still showing you people, like, because I think there isn't that many people on it.
No, not at all. Because, yeah, because I was like, how do I just, like, put it on, like, the area to be Manchester? But I couldn't figure that out.
Mm.
It's quite a hard app to use.
So, yeah, anyway, there's our Raya lowdown.
Sounds
if anyone's
Raya.
Thinking about it. You know,
around here, maybe in London it'd be good.
Yeah,
Maybe I'll test it when I go to London this weekend. Because yeah. I know it's picking up on my location in the background.
Yeah, do that. And then
but then why would I want to meet someone from London anyway? I can't be asked with a long-distance relationship.
True, true.
Just not for it.
Although
you never know.
You never know.
I'm a busy gal.
The universe might have a different plan.
Yeah, it might.
Here we are talking about dating again. Okay, let's go into navigating the holidays. The holiday season. The festive period can bring up a lot of emotions or grief or just some uncomfortable feelings. I feel like it heightens things that may be already going on underneath the surface. There's a lot going on. There's quite a lot of pressure and it can just be a little bit of a difficult time for people. And if you feel like that is you, you're kind of struggling a little bit mentally and you aren't really sure what exactly it is that's going on with you, or you need someone to talk to, but you're not really sure who to actually turn to, we have the perfect resource for you. The sponsor of this podcast is BetterHelp, and BetterHelp are a professional, secure online therapy service. So wherever you are in the world, you can use BetterHelp. So it doesn't matter what country you're in, as long as you've got a Wi-Fi connection, you've got a phone, you can use their app, or if you've got a computer, you can use it on there. You can get matched up with a therapist in only 48 hours of signing up for an account with BetterHelp. And I know that this time of year can also be quite an expensive time of year. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of presents to buy, a lot of social things that you've got to attend. But BetterHelp is a much more affordable option of therapy. It's a lot more affordable than your traditional face-to-face therapy. And they are also very kindly giving our listeners a 10% off your entire first month of online therapy with BetterHelp. But also, if you are really struggling, there is additional financial aid on top of that that BetterHelp will give you, because they really want to eliminate all the barriers to people getting help, getting the support they need, and becoming the happiest version of themselves. So if you want to start your therapy journey with BetterHelp and get some support from the comfort of your own home with a nice little 10% discount, just head to the link betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet, where your discount will automatically be redeemed. We've left the link in the show notes. You can easily go in there, click on there, fill out the questionnaire, have a little feel of the website, see what it's all about, and then see if you want to go ahead with starting your therapy journey. But therapy's been a massive part of both of our personal development journeys, our personal growth, managing all the challenges of life and just growing up and finding your feet and everything. We wouldn't be the girls that we are today without it. So if you feel like you're ready to take that step, just head to betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. So when you go home for Christmas, as everybody does, you usually find that you end up acting like a 14-year-old version of you again, or maybe even younger. And you're just like, what the fuck am I doing? What's happening right now? Like, I definitely have done it so many times with, like, my older brother. So weird. I'll just go back to being, like, I'm, like, literally, like, 8, trying to wind him up. And to be honest, he joins me at that age. And it's very strange. And then I leave the situation and I think, what the fuck is going on right now? But there's this... It's a thing called emotional regression, and we had Britt Frank, who's a psychotherapist, on the podcast like a few episodes ago. Well, no, it was actually quite a while ago now, a few months ago. Very popular episode. It's called Feeling Stuck. We asked a psychotherapist what to do, if you want to go and listen, Britt Frank. But anyway, she started talking to us about it, this concept called emotional regression, and it's where you go back to like your home environment or whatever, and you basically regress in age emotionally. So you start to, you actually do start to act like the child version of you, not the adult version of you. So I think so many people can go back home for Christmas and start acting different and be like, what the fuck's going on? Or you end up in like arguing with your family or like something. I don't know, you end up feeling like some, you just don't feel empowered, you just it's just different, it's weird, and you're like, what is going on? What's actually going on is emotional regression. But then if you know that, when you go back to visit people this Christmas, you can have that in your head, so that if it does start to happen, you're aware of it and you can just choose, do you know what, I am not gonna emotionally regress to my 8-year-old self right now. I'm gonna tell my uncle, who won't stop asking me why I'm still single, to shut the fuck up, eat your potatoes, I'm loving my single life, see you later. You know?
Yeah. So I don't know if you're actually gonna start speaking. Yeah, no, exactly. I think it is just the self-awareness that, like, once you know what that is, you start to build the self-awareness.
Yeah.
And you can see yourself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only way you really kind of like heal in that moment is literally just by, yeah, like you said, not doing it, or like catching yourself, because it's so unconscious when you flip into that. because you got to remember that, like, your family or those people may be triggering a part of you you're not even, like, that aware of. So all of a sudden,
because when you're out of the situation, like, you don't realize.
Yeah, exactly. Me. Like they were saying earlier, you can only heal the wounds of a relationship in the relationship. Sometimes you can only heal if you've got, like, a wound in around with your mother or your father or something. Probably when you go home Christmas and you're around them, things are going to come up. Mm-hmm. So you can actually show up for your inner child in a new way and actually heal that. But yeah, all it is like, in those moments, like, actually standing up for yourself and being in your voice. Like, that is the healing. You know, some people think they're like, how do I heal this huge wound? Like, what do I do? But it's you can work on healing it without anyone even knowing what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that self-awareness in yourself and thinking, I'm not going to self-abandon this time. Like, I'm actually going to stand in my truth.
No, it's so true, because because emotionally regressing, you're like, it's your inner child coming out and taking over. And that can literally happen when you're 45, 55. It doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. Like, it doesn't stop once you get past a certain age. Like, you can be really old and still be doing this. But you're probably a self-aware queen or king listening to this podcast. So you guys are probably thinking, I don't want to fucking do that. Mm. So, like, literally, you go back, you get triggered. And when you get triggered, it is your child showing up. Mm. But then if you, in that moment, like, know about this emotional regression thing, know that this happens, and then just be like, no, I'm going to let my adult take over here, because I am an adult. I might be back here in my home. I might be back around my family. But it doesn't mean that I'm not my adult self anymore. And it is actually so healing to just, like, either whether it's a boundary that needs to be set or just something, just telling someone, no, like, that can do, like, huge amounts of healing for you when you get, like, back to your life as well. Mm. Like, there's been times, like, over the past year when I've done that, when, like, a family member is, like, triggering me back from, like, a situation from when I was younger, like, repeated it now, like, as an adult. But as a kid, like, I couldn't do anything, because you're kind of like a kid, like, you don't have the rationale yet. You're not an adult self to see the truth of the situation or know that, actually, no, that's not right. And you need to have a boundary. You need to stand up for yourself. So then because sometimes people, obviously, they don't work on themselves. No shit. No shaming people here, but, like, they don't change. So they'll end up maybe being how they were with you then, even now, like, their patterns don't change. But it's like, how can I respond differently?
Yeah.
Because you have a level of control over, like, how someone impacts you and, like, how they infect your energy and stuff. Like, obviously, some people are full on, like, energy intruders, and, like, they walk all over you and, like, but you can, as an adult now, like, you can, like, heal your inner child just by, in that moment where you're getting triggered, instead of remaining triggered and remaining emotionally regressing, you just say no, or whatever it is that you need to do, you say that. And then that also, I think, starts to change patterns of behavior anyway with the other person. Like, say it's a family member and it's been maybe a toxic dynamic you've always had, and then you go home for Christmas and you think, oh God, this is going to start again, or something, we'll be back in the same environment, it's going to happen again. But you can start to set the tone of this new sort of dynamic between the two of you by being that empowered adult and not letting the emotional regression take over.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's so subtle as well. And very, like, the other subtle person will pick up on that, and it sets a new tone. And even though, like, it is uncomfortable, I think anything like that where you have to grow. And as well, like, I think when you get around people that, like, you used to be around, maybe you've done work on yourself, like, it's really easy to slip back into maybe old patterns or old ways of talking to each other. Yeah, and it can be really uncomfortable to change your pattern, because people around you probably won't like it. Yeah. If they're playing their role games, like, they're not gonna like it, and it can be freaking awkward, but it's always worth doing and setting your boundaries, because that's how you're gonna learn and grow. And as I said, it's really subtle how you show up differently, but people do pick up on it. And they will, like, understand that, actually, no, this isn't okay. Mm-hmm. And that's just how people learn to be around you, when you're setting those new boundaries. And Estelle Bingham has, like, a really nice concept that she always says, it's, like, one of her things, which is, like, drawing your line in the sand. I have a line in the sand where I end and you begin. And it's basically about setting boundaries and protecting your energy and knowing that, like, just because you set a boundary with someone, and just because you're stern with someone, doesn't mean you love them any less.
Yeah.
Or doesn't mean you're taking anything away from them. Like, you, by being in your truth and doing what feels like most empowered and best for you, and the healthiest way to be in that moment does not mean that you love someone any less. Because mm-hmm. I think that can easily be on the other side of someone that's maybe not so self-aware, that is how it can be picked up, but that's not your responsibility. Because if you're going to live your whole life thinking, oh, how are they going to interpret this? How are they going to interpret that? You're going to waste so much energy thinking about how other people feel, but you can't take responsibility for how other people feel.
Yeah, it's a good one as well to think about with people setting boundaries with you as well.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause boundaries aren't just being set because this person's like toxic or something. You set boundaries all the time
every day.
They have to be about, you have to have boundaries with yourself as well, as in like, whatever that is, I don't scroll all night or something like that.
I go to
the gym 5 times a week because if my health, like boundaries within yourself as well, like you need to have those. But I think even that quote is very powerful for you to understand and respect other people's boundaries.
Yeah.
By just knowing, it doesn't mean they don't love you.
Mm.
It doesn't mean, and if you're doing it to someone else, it doesn't mean you don't love them. It's just like, you know, the line in the sand where you end and I begin.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to become a mesh with people like that.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a whole world of meshing and codependency and all that stuff, which is just a big thing in itself. But it's like a hard one to learn how to do that.
Mm.
But it's very powerful when you do. And actually, it's not just about when you're at home for Christmas, whatever, doing it.
Oh, no.
It's at work. It's in all of your life to like understand that. The line in the sand thing is powerful.
Yeah, it's really powerful. I think that's why it's like the visual of it, like the line in the sand. Like you actually, well, I do anyway. I literally imagine like a line in the sand, like we are separate people. That's what she talks about a lot, is like not merging with people, not getting all mixed up in their shit. Codependency, as you said, like you are you, I am me. And like, how can we in the most healthy way communicate, be around each other, coexist in a way that feels good for both of you? Because even like setting those boundaries yourself, like that's always going to benefit the other person as well. Like it's always like that knock-on effect of healthy communication. You wouldn't even realize, like, even not to go into it, but even one of my friends the other day, like I spoke my truth in this situation and then I didn't even think anything of it. And then like literally a week later, she was like, I really loved how you said that to that person. And I was like, what? So yeah, by you like drawing your line in the sand and being empowered, like you may not even realize how many people around you are actually looking at you thinking, God, that's really inspiring. I want to set some boundaries.
Yeah, and then they'll want to step into it. But like, it's not an unloving thing to do. It's really not, because if you don't have boundaries with other people, like you aren't going to be able to show up as the best version of you. You aren't going to be able to do what you need to do. Like I always think about, like, if just like the things, you know, you need to do, you need to, like, random examples, but like for me, like of what time I need to go to bed and that I do actually need to go and do a workout, or I need to, like, all these little things that I know fill me up and make me the most optimized version of me. Like even having boundaries within myself, like, no, I need to go to bed at this time and wake up at this time because I have a day of work that I need to get done. Like boundaries within yourself, otherwise you can't show up as the best person for like the podcast right now. People listening, I couldn't do this well. Like or whoever you're doing, whoever you're serving at work. But then also, like, I always think about as well in business, like if you don't have those boundaries, you haven't got a business. Because if you let other people tell you how to run your business, they will never get a good service from you or a good product or anything. You have to really have self-trust and boundaries, and it's very uncomfortable sometimes to implement them, but it's so essential. But the quicker you can learn how to do it, the better your life will get. And just actually thinking, remind yourself about that line in the sand thing, doesn't mean I love you anymore or like any less, but there's a line in the sand where you end and I begin, like, is very powerful, because it means you can sit there in that moment when you feel really fucking awkward and maybe you feel bad, maybe you default to codependency and you're like telling this family member at Christmas, like, that actually they're draining you and you just go and have a bit of time to yourself or something like that, and you feel so bad, you feel like, oh, they're going through a hard time, like I feel, do you know what I mean, you feel like you're doing all the empath stuff, you're like, oh, they're going through such a hard time, like, I feel bad, I can't say this right now or something like that, like, but you can't serve them, you can't help them anyway unless you, like, you know. So it's really not an easy thing to do. It's all this stuff is so much easier said than done, but once you just start doing it a little bit, and maybe you can start at the Christmas period when you start emotionally regressing, that's your first opportunity to just do it, that one little moment at the dinner table, and just say, I'm actually really happy in my life right now, thanks. Or like, you know, when people like, because I don't know if you've seen that trend on TikTok, because it's just been Thanksgiving in America. Mm. And obviously they go back and have like a big, everyone goes back to their families for it. And they have like a, whatever, like basically like a, like what we do in the UK, like a Christmas meal, Christmas dinner. And it was like videos like, why did you leave the table? Or like, or like leaving the table at Thanksgiving. And it was like, all like, people have obviously gone back home for the holiday, like they're probably in their 20s, like 30s or something, like obviously living away and building their life. And they've come back to like their hometown, their home place, and then they're there and like the questions come in. It's like videos, slow-mo videos of people getting up off the table. But it's like, why are you still single? Or like, when are you going to get a proper job? Or like, are you making any money off TikTok yet? Or something like that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's so, there's all that stuff like does happen around that time of year when you see certain people. Like, even like, can even just be like, not even your family, but like family friends that you end up seeing. Do you know what I mean? That like, just ask weird fucking questions. And then, and it's just strange. But if you just like, just think in that moment, like, I'm not going to like you say, self-abandon. Like, I'm not going to, I'm not gonna feel sheepish, or I'm not gonna like let my inner child like just take over here. Like, I'm gonna be the empowered adult and like just do that one little thing. Maybe just tell that family friend, like, actually, like, your job's going great and you're thriving and you getting promoted all the time, whatever. Like, and you might think, oh, I sound like a big headed prick, but actually it's gonna make them shut up and they're probably not ask you the same question next year or something. Like that, and that is the first little step you need to do to then be able to go and do it in bigger parts of your life. Because to have the like empowered life that you want and the life that you want, you do have to do all this stuff. Like, it's not easy, but it's got, you've got to do it. But it serves everybody in your life anyway. They might not understand that. If they listen to that quote, they'll get it. But if they've not heard that, they might not get that. But at the end of the day, like, it's for their best interests as well.
Yeah, 100%. You just got to have those uncomfortable conversations. I was actually listening to a pod, it just came on my YouTube. Did you listen to it with Stephen Bartlett, the Simon Sinek. Yeah.
I think he's had him on twice. Which one was it?
Yeah, well, I think I've listened to it before, but it came on and I was like, I just fancy listening to it again. I can't remember if it's one or two, but he was talking about that. It was really interesting about like the basically like Gen Zs and this new generation are a generation of people that will like won't accept shit basically, especially like in the workplace.
Oh, so, yeah.
Like, whereas, like, it used to pass where, like, you're not getting paid enough and you're not being treated well and all this stuff. And, like, now it doesn't pass as much. But what he said, we're still even more raising a generation of people that avoid uncomfortable conversations. So instead of having the conversation of, like, you're not paying me enough for the work I'm doing, we're apparently raising a generation of people that just leave.
Oh, yeah, they just quit, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't, like, they don't want it. Like, it's so uncomfortable for people to have those conversations. Like, it's so uncomfortable to like just stand in your truth and be like, this isn't right, or like even be in that vulnerability. Like, people find it unbearable. I felt it before, like it feels almost unbearable, but it's the only way you grow. Like, literally you will not grow if you're not in those kind of situations. So when I was listening to that, I was like, it's so fucking true. Like, anytime that I like I'm in one of those really awkward situations, I'm like, I don't really want to have this conversation, like, this feels uncomfortable for me, it's like, you're going to grow every single time you have one of those. And that comes with even setting those little boundaries when you speak up, when you say, oh, that doesn't sit right with me, or please don't speak to me like that. Even though it's really uncomfortable, it's like, that's the only way you'll grow. Like, if you just like wrap yourself in cotton wool and avoid those conversations, then you're never going to grow as a person.
Yeah.
Or help other people around you grow.
Yeah.
And I think as well with like, just when we're talking about around being around family and stuff, I feel like there's two halves to it, is that setting the boundaries, standing your truth, knowing your worth, in that is so healing, as we said. And I think the other part of it, which you just have to keep in the back of your mind, especially around this Christmas time, is like that ultimate acceptance of where people are at.
Yeah.
And that you can't really like save people that don't want to be saved and stuff like that. Because if you are on that kind of journey where you're working on yourself and then you're back around people that maybe know an old version of you, it's really easy to fall into this trap of being like, oh, I just want, like, I want them to know what I'm experiencing, or I want to help them, or like, they've always been so stuck, why can't I help them? But it's only ever going to be a drain of your energy if you know they're never going to change.
Yeah.
And like, when I was listening to this Joe Rogan, like, what was it? Joe Rogan's
like motivational video.
I love motivational speeches.
Yeah, you do.
But it was that one I sent you. I was like, because he is really motivational, to be honest. And then there was another one, which was like 40 minutes long, I think. And he said it was so simple what he said, but I was like, it just really landed for me. It was like, if people aren't willing to invest any energy to change themselves, then don't waste any energy trying to help them change themselves. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if you know that, like, don't get me wrong, giving advice and stuff is great and being there for people, but if you know maybe a family member that really is not invested at all in changing themselves, but you feel like you like want to give advice, you've learned all this new stuff, you want to change them, it's like sometimes that is going to drain your energy, and you've just got to know that self-awareness to actually park it and be like, I'm just going to accept you where you're at.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't like what's coming out of your mouth. Maybe that doesn't align with what I think, but you can set that boundary in the moment, accept where they're at, and just leave that there. Because sometimes when you get into that whole dance of I'm going to try and help you when they don't want to be helped, it's such a drain of your energy.
I sometimes think in that moment as well, like, you actually don't always know what's best for that person anyway.
No, not
all. As I remember... a therapist said that. It wasn't to me, it was actually my friend, and she told me, I was like, wow, that's powerful. But like, for you to assume that you know what's
that was in that podcast with Simon. He was saying that,
really?
He was like, because then it's down to you, like, how would you know what's best for them? Don't put that weight on your
shoulders. exactly So it's a drain of your energy on that side as well, as in, like, you don't actually know, like, you probably have a good idea, but you don't actually, so like, just don't even bother picking up the brick.
Yeah. Do you do this? Honestly, this does my absolute head in. Whenever I go out, like, or it's just say I go out for a drink or something, I start, I don't psychoanalyze everyone, but like, do you not do that?
It's I haven't been out in so long.
Everything through the lens of my childhoods now. Like, really? And I've heard, who was I speaking to about it the other day? And they were like, oh, I do that all the time. Like, because we're always talking about, like, oh, the childhood trauma, I'm learning new things. And then, yeah, I'm like, I see, like, maybe a couple that I don't know, or like these dynamics, and like, not in a nasty way, but I like break it all down in my head, and then I'm like, Abby, stop thinking of this.
Yeah.
It's really annoying, I've got to say.
What, like, to strangers or people that you know?
Both.
Just
both. Like, I'll just be like, oh, isn't that, like, I find it fascinating. I'm like, well, actually, I know that guy, and I know, like, his mum was like this, and I'm like, because then I'm like, oh, yeah, in the past, I'm like, I never put two and two together, but now... Like, as in, kind of in a compassionate way, I'm like, oh, that's really obvious why maybe you've gone that way in life, or you've done this, because, like, it's just, it just makes more sense. And it's fascinating, but it's actually really frustrating when you're just trying to have a drink.
Yeah, I think it's because, like, when you fill your brain with quite a lot of knowledge about stuff like this for your own personal healing, you can't help but then sometimes see the world through that lens as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And your brain is just, like... Connecting the dots.
And you're just like, not right now, brain. And they probably do it for something else, which I'm not aware of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Another aspect of life.
Yeah.
I don't know why I even said that, but I do find myself doing that.
Interesting. Well, on Mad Friday, we'll have to see. I'll check in with you in the evening. How are you finding it? Are you psychoanalyzing any of the people?
Yeah, you're bored of psychoanalyzing everyone now.
No, there's like the other side of it as well, of like being around people that maybe you've outgrown, and you're obviously thinking that you might know what's good for them to whatever, but also the other side of that is when you come, it's maybe like you've been at uni or something, or maybe you've moved away, and you've like, because usually when you have that experience of like leaving your hometown, you do grow a lot and change as a person, and then you come back for Christmas and maybe you've seen your friends or something that you that were like your hometown friends you've not seen for a while, and you can then be back around them and maybe feel quite different because you've changed as a person, and then when you're back around them, it highlights that maybe you didn't realize quite how much you had changed until you're there being mirrored with them, like in your own head, not obviously like actually being like compared, but do you know what I mean, like, just maybe you're feeling like you can't relate to them as much or something, and that can feel very confusing and quite lonely, and that's something that happens like around this time of year as well. And like, I when I found this before, I've actually felt guilty about it, because you're like, oh, why don't I like relate as much to these people anymore? Like, am I letting this friendship go? Is it my fault that this has happened or something? And it's like, no, that is part of life. Like, you will change, you will grow, you will outgrow friends, things will change, dynamics will change, like, and it's just, it's life, and it's fine, it's absolutely fine, it's so normal, and you don't need to feel bad about it, it's not your fault, it's natural, like, it's just natural.
Yeah, no, totally. So I feel like there's lots of little tips in there on how you can show up differently this winter, December, and like get to New Year and not feel like you've been hit by a bus emotionally, you know, because you just really just self-abandoned and taken out yourself. Like, you can really just show up for yourself in those small, tiny little moments. Even if it's uncomfortable, like, you can go back home, maybe if you, not like back home, like back to your normal life after seeing your friends, after seeing your family, and you can actually think, I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah.
For how I showed up. Like, that actually felt really good. So, like, go and have fun, guys.
Yeah.
But don't forget your boundaries.
Yeah, and I think as well, don't feel weird or alien or bad for, like, trying to still prioritise your routines during, like, the holiday period. Because, you know, like, obviously, like, most like, you just end up not doing any of it and, like, obviously just relaxing and whatever.
And just lying down and eating.
Yeah, and that's great. We love that. Mm. But if you know in yourself that, like, without maybe your journaling practice or your meditation or whatever it is, you kind of, like, get on the edge a bit, just keep that level of, like, discipline as well, I think, for yourself. Even though it's Christmas and stuff, like, still take care of you. You don't need to completely abandon it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how you, yeah, get to that new year and actually feel good.
Yeah.
And not feel awful because you've abandoned everything.
Yeah. But thank you for listening, everybody, and Merry Christmas. No, I'm joking. It's a bit early for that. Mm. But we will be back with episodes before Christmas anyway.
Yeah.
It's like a holiday lowdown 101. Let's five the holiday season episode. But
yeah. Because I feel like Christmas is just starting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's like Christmas parties, being around maybe people in your office out.
Yeah, they've already started all those, yeah.
Can always be, like, sometimes a weird time, so. Mm-hmm. But as we said anyway, everything we talked about is just general, really useful for life.
Mm-hmm.
Boundaries. Yeah. Guys, come and follow us on social media. We're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, at Finding Your Feet Podcast. We're on YouTube if you want to come and watch us and Grace with her little microphone. We had to have a little replacement this episode. But come and join in the fun. We're always posting lots of bits, and we've rebranded as well on Instagram, so we're like on fire
posting content all the time on there now after being radio silent for months.
Yeah, you literally don't want to miss out.
Yeah,
so come and join in the fun.
Yeah, but we'll see you next Wednesday, guys.
Bye.